So I'd like to welcome you to a new year in this congregation. As you may know, the month that we are now in gets its name from the Roman god Janus, who is the guardian of doorways and thresholds and the god of change and life passages. One of the faces of Janus looks back to the past. The other peers ahead into the future. And Janus stands at that threshold, the threshold being the fleeting present moment where the past and the future meet. Appropriately, one of the manuals for interim ministry that the UUA has published is called the Janus Workbook. Like Janus, we interim ministers stand on that threshold between the past and the future of a congregation, charged as we are with helping the congregation move from its past to its future with a new minister. And the manual, appropriately, looks like this, with the two-faced god Janus on the cover. Most of us become a bit Janus-faced ourselves when one year turns into the next. And we pause a little bit at the threshold, looking back over the past year that we just lived through, usually looking back with a mixture of satisfaction and regret, hoping for a better year we make our resolutions and promises to ourselves as one year yields to the next. And so we live out our lives with a sense of time as linear, moving from the past into the future as if in a straight line. This linearity is the sense of time that is captured by the Greek word chronos, and from that word we get our words chronology and chronometer. And this sense of time is the time of calendars and clocks, measured time, which we sometimes feel rushing past us like a relentless wind, seems to get more and more fierce as the years go on. We feel it rushing when we realize with a shock how old a child whom we thought was just born has become, or when we begin to have to count our own age by decades, or when we realize that many of the public figures we see, or maybe the professionals we go to, the doctors and dentists and all, we realize at some point that they're all younger than we are. I remember that happening to me some years ago and wondering, when did that happen? The chronos sense of time is based on natural cycles, based on the daily rotation of the earth, the yearly revolution around the sun, the roughly monthly cycle of the moon. But the way this sense of time is subdivided is, of course, cultural convention. The number of hours in a day, or the number of minutes in an hour, or seconds in a minute. Seconds have been further subdivided because of our precision into microseconds, milliseconds, and tiny, tiny nanoseconds, which is a billionth of a second. Hard to wrap one's mind around. Of course, these most minute measurements become significant in the science of subatomic particles, not so much in our everyday lives. But we're well aware of the clock ticking every day we live. In the chronos sense of time, each second, each day, each year comes and then passes, never to return. The year one is long gone. 2015 is now gone. Our lives begin and end along this linear timeline, and one day we too will be gone. With our modern Western culture based on this linear sense of time. It becomes so much our way of thinking and being in the world that it's hard to imagine another way. But for some other cultures, this sense of time is, or at least was in the past before they got westernized, is alien. In traditional Hindu culture, for example, time is cyclical, with eternally repeating cycles of 4 billion years. In this worldview, even our lives repeat over and over through successive incarnations until we are spiritually mature enough to get off the wheel of life and enter into timelessness. In Hindi, the same word, kal, refers both to yesterday and tomorrow. And in Hindi and other Indian tongues, there isn't even a word that is equivalent to our minute or our second, except for those that have been adopted from English. Such a discrete piece of time as a minute is meaningless from this point of view. Yet, we in the West vex ourselves with little pieces of time. We worry about saving minutes on the freeway, and we look for the best route home. Or we're impatient with an outdated computer because it wastes a few extra seconds running through its motions. We sometimes get so caught up and so obsessive about chronos time that we lose a larger perspective. As the poet E.E. Cummings put it, we live by a hoax of clocks and calendars. The Greeks have another word for time, kairos, where chronos time is a quantifiable time kept by a clock or a calendar. Kairos time is qualitative and experiential. Kairos in Greek means the right time or the opportune moment. It's related to the English word crisis, a difficult decision point or a climax or turning point in our lives. The kairos sense of time focuses on one particular moment rather than the fleeting minutes of chronological time. Kairos is the felt sense of it being just the right time for a particular moment to be fulfilled, to become meaningful. It's not as easy a concept to define as chronos time. As an example, a person may be in therapy, struggling for months or years with a personal problem, perhaps an old wound of the psyche that needs healing. It is valuable to work and to struggle and inch toward insight. But it is only really when the time is right for that person that the insight, the breakthrough, the healing will come in its own time. This is what kairos time means. The right moment, the turning point, a time outside of everyday time that is pregnant with meaning. Kairos can be communal as well as personal. It may be the right time in history for something profound to happen. Taking down the Berlin Wall was one such turning point. Or the signing of a peace accord putting an end to a war would be another kairos moment. Or, let us hope, a comprehensive and unanimous international action on climate change that would really make a difference. That would be a kairos moment. Let's hope it happens this year. Being open to the kairos moment requires patience and sometimes letting go of our specific expectations while still holding on to hope. When we are overly impatient for some change to be made in ourselves, our relationships, our institutions, or in nations, we sometimes need to hear a wiser soul within assuring us that it will happen in Kairos time, when the time is right. If you think back for a moment about the Kairos moments in your own life, the significant turning points, when the time felt right to make a change or experience an insight, chances are you will recall in some detail what went on in that Kairos moment. How you felt, what you did, who all the players were. We remember because the Kairos moment is like a moment of time out of time. There's a spiritual quality to this sense of time. When that special moment, full of possibility, opens up before us and we enter into it, we dwell for that time in the space of the eternal, really. No other way to put it. Where there is really, for that time at least, for that moment, there really is no past or future. The arrival of Kairos time in our lives reminds us that sometimes we need to close Janus's doorway, to throw off the regrets of the past and the worries about the future, and to forget about Kronos for a while, the ticking clock that fills and overfills our lives, and moves us along that linear path of our relentless aging. Kairos, the moment of meaning and fulfillment that we can't know by looking at the clock or flipping the calendar pages, Kairos can enter and transform our lives if we are open to it. The poet Howard Nemiroff was surely on Kairos time when he wrote this little poem that he titled Moment. Now, starflake frozen on the windowpane, all of a winter night, the open hearth blazing beyond Andromeda, the sea anemone and the downwind seed. O moment, hastening, halting in a clockwise dust. The time in all the hospitals is now. Under the arc lights where the sentry walks, his lonely wall, it never moves from now. The crying in the cell is also now. And now is quiet in the tomb as now explodes inside the sun. And it is now in the saddle of space where argosies of dust sail outward, blazing, and the mind of God, the flash across the gap of being, thinks in the instant absence of forever, now. That word now, so much a part of that poem. Time is really a mind-bending quality. When we go out on a starry night and look up at the blinking stars, we are peering back in time because it takes the starlight years and the light from galaxies eons to reach us, even at the incredible speed of 186,300 or so miles per second. The stars and galaxies are so unimaginably far away that we can only see what they looked like years or centuries or millennia ago. And yet, the stars are right here in our very bones. In our bones, there are minerals that were fused by ancient stellar explosions. And all the matter and energy which ever was still is, here in this very moment, although it has been transformed a billion, billion times and more. And this universe, which exploded into being some 14 billion years ago, is today still hissing from the explosion. We can pick up this background hum on special radio frequencies. All the vastness of space and the great length of time is one seamless web, and it vibrates in and around us with the sound of the eternal now. So back in Kronos time, welcome to the year 2016. Another year sure to be filled with dates and deadlines and details. A new year in which to make and maybe abandon resolutions for self-improvement. Another year in which to line up accomplishments and check off items in our to-do lists or on our bucket lists. A new year in which to reevaluate the past and plan for the future. A new year, perhaps, in which some positive Kairos moments will happen internationally that will change the world for the better. We can only hope. May it also be a year in which we occasionally step out of the stream of time to dwell fully in the eternal moment, the now, bright with possibility, where we can pause to feel the vibrations of the great web of life. I wish for you in this new year that a little Kairos comes into your Kronos now and then. I'd like to close with this little parable from the Zen Buddhist tradition about what seizing the moment, living in the eternal now, really looks like metaphorically. This is as told by Paul Reps in Zen Flesh, Zen Bones. Buddha told a parable in a sutra. A man traveling across a field encountered a tiger. He fled, the tiger after him. Coming to a precipice, he caught hold of the root of a wild vine and swung himself down over the edge. The tiger sniffed at him from above. Trembling, the man looked down to where, far below, another tiger was waiting to eat him. Only the vine sustained him. Two mice, one white and one black, little by little started to gnaw away the vine. The man saw a luscious strawberry near him. Grasping the vine with one hand, he plucked the strawberry with the other. How sweet it tasted.